are back on the 20 Years of 24 podcast. But today is more of a red letter day. It's a red letter day in so many different ways. Our guest today is Penny Johnson Gerald, and she is here. You will know her as Sherry Palmer, but you also know her from The Larry Sanders Show. You'll know her from The Orville. You know her from Castle, from so many different places. But we have a chance to sit and talk to her today and talk 24 and, of course, other things that she's doing as well. The reason it's a red letter day is because 2 minutes and 37 seconds. Now, that number may not feel significant right now, but I'm going to tell you, 2 minutes and 37 seconds in the pilot of 24, that was when we met the first main character of 24, and that was, of course, Sherry Palmer. So there was no other main character that showed up on screen until 2 minutes and 37 seconds, and we see Sherry Palmer for the first time. So I think that's really significant for us to have you on the show today. You are the first main character that actually was on screen. So welcome to the 20 Years of 24 podcast today.
Welcome.
Ryan and Justin. Thank you.
Absolutely. Did you know that you were the first character that showed up on screen?
No, that was news to me. A lot is news to me, I have to tell you. Even 24 was news to me before I even knew that 24 was 24.
Right, so right.
How'd you get connected to 24? Like, how did you get started in it? And what was your experience like playing the character Sherry Palmer?
I went in to audition, and I believe I was auditioning for Howard Gordon and Joel Surnow. Okay. And I'm not sure if Robert Cochran was there or not. And it was, to me, an insignificant audition. And I didn't know who was starring in it. I didn't know anything about it because I was already doing a pilot in Canada, actually.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, Sticks and Bains is what it was. And so I went in, I auditioned. There were so many, you know, girls, and I just went in there and did my thing. But when I walked in, Stephen Hopkins was also there. When I walked in, I was in a room with fans. They were big fans of The Larry Sanders Show.
Right.
And they loved the flow, and they loved the temperature of The Larry Sanders Show, where it was a very naturalistic way of speaking, where you didn't know if someone was acting or not, or if you were just a fly in the wall on something very private. And so I didn't know that they were fans. They actually told me that. And I went out feeling really good. And then I got it, and I got back on a plane and finished Citizen Baines. But when I was up there, that's when I found out what 24 was. Someone said, "You're involved in this show called 24 with Kiefer Sutherland." I said, "Well, I don't know if Kiefer Sutherland is in this." They said, "Oh, yeah." And the talk of the town is it's the hottest thing ever. And I said, "Oh, wow, that's cool." There you go. I didn't have a clue.
Yeah. I mean, the hottest thing ever. I mean, The Larry Sanders Show certainly fit that bill. You know, it's one of those shows, and like 24, people still talk about the Blaze. Such a groundbreaking show on so many levels. And then to find out that you're a part of another groundbreaking show, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. And you said that the audition itself didn't jump out to you, per se.
No, I mean, I read the sides, and they, you know, they said who she was, and I prepared to be this person of who she was. And I tend to just take, when I find out who this character is, I take that strongest part of me that is like that character. I am not from this place where you got to create this whole image of someone and now you're acting. I'm from the school of you have all of those characters inside of you. So mm-hmm. you take that element out and you work that. That's what I did. And I landed the role, and I was pleasantly surprised how we started shooting it and what it became right in front of your face. Oh my gosh, just wonderful.
And that, I guess that's the question too, is that when you auditioned, the character that she became, did you have hints of who she was going to be and who she became? Or was it pretty straightforward?
Actually, I don't like to know, as I told you, anything
right.
Beforehand. However, I think it's true to say that the writers and creators didn't know either.
Right.
They let me do my thing, and it evolved into that. And believe it or not, the fans shaped Sherry Palmer. I remember the first time, and this was before social media was the craze.
Right.
We were at some big party or something for publicity, and all the people came up to me and they were saying, "Oh my gosh, you know, you are like Lady M." And I'm like, "Who?" "Well, the fans are saying you're Lady M." And so I thought, okay, there's something to be said about that. And so I started looking at the script, all scripts, actually, in terms of, it certainly is. This is a well-calculated character, and she became that. But she became that because the creators were really good at allowing me to find out who she was. And again, as I take things for myself, she was the mother in me. I give all of the credit to my daughter, who's now a grown woman, but was a teenager at the time.
Right.
I give it to her because the intensity of Sherry, the edge of Sherry was all about parenting a teenager.
Right. Yes. Right.
Yes. Absolutely. Keith and Nicole Palmer, right? Were your kids in the show, and David Palmer was your husband. We love the dynamic between Sherry and David Palmer, and especially over the first season, that was the storylines in the first season for your characters were amazing. You know, from the beginning to the end, and then how it evolved in season two and three as well.
Yeah.
I just wanted to jump into what you just said, Justin. I have to say that Dennis and I, we would have conversations about that family. And it's not very often, well, more so now because of what's going on and the climate of what's going on. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a strong Black family.
Right.
You didn't have a family where there was a husband and a wife and children, educated.
Right.
We're not running wild in the ghetto and strung out on drugs or, you know, you didn't have that. You had what I recognize and what Dennis recognized where, and what most Black people recognize as the Black family, the strength of the Black family. And so it was really important for us to portray that. And the politics followed, but the family was, that unit was most important. So again, credit to my daughter, that parenting, that showing love, that showing support. And then it became showing the desire and the passion to represent people in the political realm. Nothing was going to stop them.
Well, it's interesting. 24 kind of reflected what happened in the real world. So I think, President Obama becoming president, you know, we saw that season two, the first Black president, Sherry Jones's character, you know, a lot like, sort of like compared to Hillary Clinton. So 24 always had that way of, you know, trying to lead the future in.
Well, it was notorious for art imitating life and then life imitating art. So much so that in those first few seasons, we would be mindful that what we showed could possibly happen after. And things did happen. We had the 9/11. We had, that was a very, very intense time on the show because we're talking about terrorism and then it happens.
Right.
And we're laying the groundwork for this senator to become the first Black president of the United States. I remember the conversations. I remember going into the office of the creators and when they were thinking, well, we don't know if he's going to be president or whatever. You know, I said, let me just tell you this. You need to make him president because the world is ready for that.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that.
And there was a scene when we're having dinner and we're having a huge argument in front of the children. And the script was written as, you're running for the president of the United States, David. And it stops there. And thank God I had incredible producers again who allowed me to do my thing. I said, there's another take on this. And the take is this. You are running for the president of the United States, David, a black man. And, you know, sometimes people are afraid to do that, but it was absolutely necessary because it fed into the importance of that moment. Yeah. And I think that that moment, again, for what you said, Justin, art imitating life, life imitating art, I believe that life was allowed to imitate art in that the public watching this unfold on 24 were open to the idea that we could indeed have a black man as president. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say we're taking the full credit for that because the Obamas are awesome. But I must say that 24 really, I think, opened the minds and the hearts of the American people to consider that.
To visualize it. And to see it as a possibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I would agree with you. The TV show was instrumental in saying, hey, this is a possibility. And it's not a strange part. It was brought up a couple times throughout the show of, hey, this black man is running for president. They say it right in the beginning of the series. It's just a fact. He's running for president. And then when he comes in as president in the next season, we saw him. And again, to Dennis's credit, he's presidential, right?
Yes.
At a time when presidential was kind of up in the air, he brought a presidential presence. And you brought a first lady presence to the proceedings and allowed us to see, as you said, that family together working through things, talking through things, and being an educated family on TV and allowed us to see that. And again, we're watching it in Canada and all over the world and going, yay, like, yeah, keep doing that. And so I appreciate when you tell me that you had the input to be able to give them the insight that they didn't have is amazing.
I thought Dave Ballmer's character was the best president in the whole of all the presidents. And I also love the dynamic, the friendship between David and Jack. That was a great, that bond that they had was great.
Something that you had said, Ryan, and it was really the fact that you have these this black family pulling together and paving the way. In hindsight, I've since read Michelle Obama's book
Becoming.
I'm reading this because people used to say, "Were you Michelle Obama's?" I said, "No. Michelle Obama was far more kind, but just as educated."
Yes.
But what I was able to see in the book is that she truly did give up a lot to support this man.
Yes.
I mean, she was a lawyer in her own right, mm-hmm. and he actually worked for her. Yeah. And even before reading this or knowing about the Obamas, that's how I always saw Sherry Palmer. People would say, oh, she's so evil. And I go, no.
Right.
He loves hard.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
she's willing to put that aside. They say, oh, she's greedy. No. She wants her husband to succeed. And so that parallel, I have to say that is a parallel that I think is a fine one if you take away the vindictiveness that other people see in Sherry Palmer.
Right,
but
right.
I am proud to know that that we were really speaking truth on the show prior to the actual president and first lady becoming who they were.
I mean, David Palmer made decisions. This was a point of pride for me. David Palmer made decisions that at the end of the day were to Sherry's detriment. But the David Palmer Patty moment, the setup and they're going in and this is the way it is. And Sherry's given her full consent and everything is going to proceed as we had seen it proceed in other situations before, the way that guys normally act. And when he said, get out, you're fired, I literally, my jaw dropped to the floor. I then took my DVD over to my parents' house and I had them watch that episode. I said, this is a point where in the moment where he's forced to make a decision, he makes the right decision. And again, to Sherry's detriment, because Sherry's currency, her love language is information. So it may not have helped you as in your character, but I went, wow, they presented I always saw the show as a moral play, like the Twilight Zone and shows like that, where they would show you the moral decision to be made and what happens if you don't make the right decision, all that kind of stuff. But this was a moment in time when he made that decision and he stood up for integrity and you went, oh my goodness, I've never seen that on TV.
But just think of how important that is, being a character who happens to be Black.
Right, yes.
We are examined, you know, we used to have conversations about what is too much or whatever, because right. I always found, and I still do find today, because these are people who are considerate, being a person not of color, like, can we really do this?
Right.
And I love the fact that they respect the talent enough to have that conversation, because right. they could have written him in the stereotypical pimp daddy
yep.
president.
Exactly.
And instead, they kept and they walked that wonderful fine line, that line of morality. And that, I think, is very precious. And also, that's where Lady M became embellished.
Right.
Because without Lady M, the man who shall not be named would never have done any of those deeds.
Right.
So,
exactly. Okay. Exactly. Do you see Sherry as a villain?
No, I think that I've been called many things. And villain is one of the nicest things ever.
Sure, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I got to segue and just tell this very short story.
Absolutely.
When I didn't know how incredibly vindictive people thought of Sherry, my husband and I, and I tell this story quite often, but it bears repeating. My husband and I were in Italy vacationing, and we were in a market, outdoor market, and it was crowded, but it was rather nice, and we were enjoying ourselves. And then we heard this man and woman, their voices, they were raised, and we don't speak Italian, but they were raised. And we heard the word, excuse my language, bitch. And I said, oh my God, sweetheart, we need to go, because that man is calling his wife a bitch.
Yeah.
And my husband looks at me and says, he's not calling his wife a bitch. He's calling you a bitch. And they came over with their arms open, but they were saying, Sherry Palma, the beach, the beach.
As a term of affection, as out of respect.
And I never knew how that word, then all of a sudden I went, wow. And Jennifer Lewis, we did What's Love Got to Do,
right.
Do with it. And that's the first time anyone has ever called me that. And I didn't know that it was like good.
Right, right. So, yeah. Really, that generally means that generally is not good.
No, it generally is not good. Yeah, so yeah. I'm a bad bee. It was like, so when you say, was she a villain? I think she was more of that bee, but then they called her biatch.
Right, right. It softens a little bit. Softens a little bit.
So it was different. So I just wanted to share that story.
That's interesting. That shows you how, I mean, that in Italy, you had a following too. Sherry Palmer had a following, I guess, all over the world. And for people in Italy to know 24 and Sherry Palmer, that's amazing.
I love the, I got a lot of response from playing Sherry. And I think it's due to the fact that 24 was very true to giving you something that just didn't look like everyone was acting. I think everyone was at the top of their game. When you were on 24, you were at the top of your game, and it was truly an opportunity to just have a great time. Dennis and I would just crack up in the makeup and hair trailer. He goes, oh my gosh, I got to put up with you again. I said, you sure do. And we had been husband and wife on another show that we did overseas. It was a mini series. And then we ended up on another show that we didn't even know we were in at the same time. It was a movie, Clint Eastwood, Absolute Power.
And right, yeah.
So 24, I think, was our third show together. Yeah. And so it was kind of nice. And you got to be kind and just love one another to be like that on stage.
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, we've talked to Howard, we've talked to Bob, and what I find hearing from you, your angle, your perspective is different, because as we're hearing from you, that you and Dennis could go in and say, wait a minute, this isn't how this would play out. And it sounds like they were open to your input to change, to make it more authentic.
To be clear, we were true to the script.
Right.
But they allowed us, for lack of better words, to be Black people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you don't stop being Black when you become a politician. You just are.
Right.
And so to have those little nuances, they were very kind to me, I have to say. But I can say that I was very kind to them, too.
Sure.
In terms of taking their work and just doing my very best with it. But they gave you some really good work to play with, I'm telling you.
What was the most fun about being and playing Sherry Palmer?
Well, I know what was not the most fun. Can I start there?
Absolutely.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. What was not the most fun was the fact that I had to have my hair cut every 8 weeks.
Right. Yes. To match.
To match. And you're in the same thing. And so, but Penny would figure out how to change clothes in a
yes.
day.
Yes. Yes. That is notorious. That is among 24 lore, that is notorious that you changed, I think, 6 times in season 1.
Yeah.
They were calling me in the office. Well, do you really? I go, yes, I really think. Especially there was a scene where in the hotel room, we have like a fight. And I said, I think I'm in a gown. It's the same day. I said, but this is a woman who would get ready for bed. She wouldn't just keep her clothes on all night. She'd get ready for bed even if she doesn't go to sleep. And so
she's going to be the first lady. She would change multiple times. My wife changes multiple times a day.
No, I don't. I wake up. I don't know if you can see me. I wake up. I go work out, and then it's like, okay, that's it. I'll let that work. You know. But the best thing about playing Sherry was when Sherry confronted people who thought they could best her.
Right.
And yes. That's when she could dig deep. And I so enjoyed those moments because they were moments of just delicious moments. But I have since learned they're actually moments of Penny's personality. For some reason, I have that ability to like, without harming you. And that was a wonderful way of playing Sherry. She never raised her voice.
No.
Never. Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
But she was a woman who was so secure in who she was. And that to me was really fun playing. That no one ever really got to, you know, flare her up. She did that for herself, but no one had that ability. And so she didn't give that power over. And I so enjoy that as a woman, doing that on screen.
You know, I hadn't thought about that before, but no, Sherry never raised her voice, did she?
Never.
Never had an outburst. It was very calm. It was like, here's what you're going to do. You're going to do this, and then you're going to do that. And that's the way it'll all work out in the end. Boy,
it's like raising a teenager. My kid would always say, oh, Mom, you did that thing. Like if she says something and she's here, I go, okay, now I'm just going to repeat back to you what you just said. And you're going to tell me, did you really mean to say that? And it's like, oh,
wow! I got to go back and do parenting all over again based on what you just said. My kids are grown and I got to go back and start all over again because I did it all wrong. And there was a much better way of just sitting back and going, did you mean to say what you think you said? You need to write a parenting book from the perspective of Sherry.
No, it's utterly ridiculous what you just said. And actually, you sound so stupid, and you have now diminished to this size.
Well, I mean, and Sherry was like that till the bitter end. I mean, the one of the last I watched Sherry die again last night.
And oh no! She didn't die.
I know. That was my next part of my question. I didn't see a bot. I didn't see her die. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a second. But when you said, "We can work it out," it's one of the last things you say to Julia Milliken. Well, we can work this out. I'm going to be married to David again. Everything, and again, as you're saying, you didn't raise your voice. I'm realizing you're not screaming this. You're just saying it as matter of fact. And you're genuinely surprised when you meet your aunt, or when she gets shot. Right? There was a look on your face that went, "Oh, wait a minute, she's going to do it," which is pretty amazing. You played it so like, well, how is she not going along with the program? I've already told her how her life is going to be. Which is awesome. But it comes back to exactly what you just said. Part of my question was, where is Sherry now? Because we saw her get shot.
If 24 gets revived, okay, would you play Sherry?
Oh, I would definitely play Sherry. She's a person that there is an unlimited well of so much to play her. But John Cassar and I, we have this battle all the time. John is now on the Orville. He says, "You know, I'm the one to chart your death." I said, "John, now you know my butt did not die." He says, "Oh, come on." I said, "John, you never saw me stop breathing. You never saw me close my eyes. And never did anybody take a body out of there." I said, "So in my head, Sherry never died. And I never watched it. So I can't even in my head know that." And I watched every episode of 24 on the opposite couch of my husband, because that was my homework, to make sure I was on point with everything and tracking, because it's one day and I just don't rely on the editor and I don't rely on the script supervisor to tell me this is what you did before. If someone tells me that, I usually say, "Actually, no. I was here because I know what was happening in my body and my mind. So my body's gonna do what it was doing. So I really know this woman. I really know Sherry Palmer. So no, I don't think she's dead."
What you just described, your conversation with John Cassar, was actually a conversation of Sherry with John Cassar, because you're saying, "Well, no, I'm not dead. Can't you understand? This is the way it works. I'm still alive." That is next level. Wow. My parenting skills are now trashed, and that is next level persuasion. And now I'm going to go back and watch the first three seasons and watch the persuasion happen, because there was never a desperate moment. You were always, "This is the way it's going to be." And I, man, wow, you've opened my eyes. You've opened my eyes today.
Oh, well, glad I can do that.
Was there a favorite line that you said as Sherry?
I think what would come to mind right now is, "David, I will always be your woman."
Yes.
I think, yes. I can see it now. We were in this little tiny room, and I remember she's walking away and she turns back and yes. she says that.
Yeah.
My husband has other favorite lines, you know, but I think that would be my favorite line. Definitely. Yeah.
David did not have her out of his system, did he?
No.
He did not have her out of his system.
No.
As hard as he tried, it became very clear. And he did his abrupt walkout. And another shocking scene of him walking out the door and you're being stopped by security to keep you from going further. I went, I've never seen that on TV. He literally is like, "We're done. This is it. Boom." But he still, by the second season came around, he was clearly, we still talk. We have kids together. We have to connect. I don't think he ever got you out of his system. Ever got Sherry out of his system.
And you know, if you if you sat and watched and you counted how many times Sherry says, David, one time I said to, I forget, one of the writers, I said, do you know I say David five times in this one paragraph? And they smiled. And I thought, okay, somebody is telling them they love when Penny says David, because I'm telling you, they would write that. That wasn't Penny adding anything. That was on the script where it was like, I would say something like, David,
yes,
do you understand that I'm talking to you, David?
It would be like, it was, David. And it was always his full name.
Yes.
Pronounced perfectly. Yes. David, this is my new take. David was your damn it. Jack had damn it, and you had David could be a drinking game for 24.
Yeah, like just wow. Like damn it. What would you say was Sherry's relationship with Jack on 24? Like the characters, how would you classify their relationship?
I think that when they finally came on screen together and we had this whole thing, mm-hmm. Kiefer and Penny, yep. I think there was a mutual respect, the characters. I think that Sherry truly understood that Jack was going to save the day and do whatever it takes to do that. And Sherry would do whatever it takes for her husband to be the president, right, and to get in the White House. And so I think it was of mutual respect and a challenge. I think they would challenge one another. I can't believe I can remember all this. It's freaking 20 years ago. Oh my gosh. I remember we were shooting something and Jack and Sherry are in this very dark room, and then we go behind and we're moving around. We're actually being physical with one another. And I think there was a moment where she like bucked up to him like, you must don't know Sherry Palmer. They never, you know, and I like that because, you know, when you have a star playing this star character, Jack Bauer, right, usually, you know, the story that somehow somebody's going to like kowtow in some way. Not Sherry.
No, she did not. She absolutely did not.
Yeah.
That was a meeting of the minds. That whole story at the end of season two of, you know, when you're sneaking around and he catches you in the, you know, in the, where to get the file, the audio file. That was one of those epic, oh my goodness, this is happening right now. They're in the same space. Because you had existed for a season and almost two seasons of not being in each other's space, right?
Yeah.
And then the two worlds converged. And I remember we were watching it live at the time going, oh, this isn't going to be good. Because I remember you were kind of skulking around, or you were making your entrance to trying to find in there. And all of a sudden you realize they're in the same spot. And then they went to, well, see you next week. And they ended the show. So we spent all week going, oh my goodness, this showdown is going to be amazing. And it lived up to it after a week, that meeting of the minds. Yeah, as you said, nobody kowtowed. Well, this is the way it's going to be, Jack. And this is how you're going to do it. And I'm not doing this. And in the history of the show, nobody had done that before. Everybody was afraid of Jack Bauer because they knew what he would do. But you met him with the same approach, which was pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Which was amazing for us to see. Again, another reason why I was running it over to my parents' house and say, you got to watch this episode too. You got to see this. What was the, we talked about it at the beginning, but how do you feel about the long-term impact of the way that story was written, of a strong Black family and going through and kind of moving through into politics and everything else? How do you feel 20 years later being a part of something that was so significant in TV?
First of all, sometimes you say a show is before their time or whatever. I think 24 was right on time. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it's fair and also true to say that we could sure use a 24 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I'd love for it to be this wonderful African-American family.
Yeah.
But we might even be ready for a diverse family.
Right.
A family that marries into something and those worlds blend. When we were doing it before, the brown man was always the bad man.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that we're ready for something to bring those worlds together. I think that if we were to do that today, we would be remiss if we did not join all of these ethnic groups together.
24 could live in this day and age?
Oh, absolutely. Because if you really think about it, so much can happen in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
You turn on the television today and you just heard something last night and it's freaking old news.
Yeah.
Because this world is moving at a rapid pace.
Yeah.
And people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they want to see something. They want to see change. I mean, one moment you think something is going to turn out a certain way.
Yeah.
It turns out totally different. So, yes, I think that 24 can be revised today, and it will be pertinent today. It wouldn't be like rebooting the facts of life or whatever, something old, and you go like, oh, why are we doing Happy Days?
Right, right, yeah.
But 24 is of today.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely is of today. And this is not being partial, but yeah, it is partial. I think the best of 24 was the beginning of 24. I think right. We took more risks. People, just the investment of, setting standards. I just think it was the best. And so today, mm-hmm. I think the world could be just right for people who know what they're doing. And so characters who may have been 20-something, I think you'll buy that they're 40-something. Characters who were in their 40s, you would buy them being in their 60s. I mean, when you look at the people who are running this country, they're not all these kids. So I think they're mixed. So I think that I think you can do 24 again, definitely.
A fresh take on it.
A fresh yes. take, yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. As Justin said, it's an idea, and it's an idea that, as you said, we could use it now, and maybe in a different form, in a different way, but the concepts and the story behind it and the strength of the characters and the way the characters were written really remains to be seen. My take on 24 is that even the worst episode of 24, which I don't believe there are any, but the worst episode of 24 is better than anything else on TV. Just because of the way it was written and the way you have actual multiple storylines. As I said, you and Jack didn't connect until it shared space until almost the end of season two, because you had a cast doing this over here, then you had a cast over here, and you had three different productions going on that were all part of the same story, which I thought was fascinating.
I think Jack and Sherry did share a moment on screen near the end of season one when Jack was right. trying to convince David Palmer to pretend he was dead.
Right. That
in
is right.
Order
that's when we learned we didn't like one another. But in a nutshell, Justin, I think that's exactly when you knew that Sherry and Jack were not going to be fans of one another. So that when they finally were to have screen time together in their story, it was going to be live, as they say.
oh, yes, it was charged. And Justin has the benefit of not having to wait a week between. I mean, I'm jealous of him because he didn't have to. I remember the first three seasons, there were 6 weeks gaps. They would say, all right, we'll see you in 6 weeks. And all of us are sitting in front of this TV going, you've got to be kidding. I'm at the edge of my seat. I can't wait 6 weeks for this. This is wild. This is just not right. What about 24? I mean, you've done so much since. What about 24 did you take with you when you left that show?
To be honest, my reputation.
Sure. Okay.
And the reputation, because when you do a show like that, and it's big,
right?
You have to be very careful not to become that big with it. That you just, it was a show. And so if you come into a show and you give your all and you're rewarded by the accolades of people enjoying it or whatever, that gets to go with you. And so let's see, which show did I see? I was Eve after that. And then October Road, and actually all the shows that I'm doing, even the Orville, is because, like, Seth MacFarlane was a fan of 24 and a fan of me during my Star Trek days.
Right.
So, and Larry Sanders. So I've been so blessed to be in shows that you can talk about today. So finding that material and knowing that this is universal material, and to know that this is not a trend, is just wonderful. So 24, actually, the reputation went with it. Now, mind you, it wasn't always positive, because a lot of people confused Penny Johnson-Gerald with Sherry Palmer.
Right. And so
when I went into meetings, people were so surprised to find out that, oh my gosh, she's actually a nice person. That's not her. You know, and I said, well, let's call it acting.
Exactly. What part of acting do I have to explain to you?
Called acting. And furthermore, if I ever talk like that to my real life husband, I would be divorced.
And I can understand if the general public confuses you like they do with soap opera and everything else. Well, they can't separate you from the character, but an actual executive in a meeting.
No, they don't, because they don't know, like, oh, she must be like this.
Right, right.
But it did afford me wonderful roles. I was so blessed to play Kathy Hughes in Media, which was to go to series, but then I was doing the Orville and I couldn't do both at the same, well, I could do both at the same time. They just didn't realize it. I couldn't do both shows at the same time, but
right.
All of those I think were on the strength of Sherry Palmer, the character. I mean, I've been called the J.R. Ewing of television. Oh my gosh, so many things, but they're all in kindness.
And, right.
And respect. So I would say that the reputation, good or bad, but when I finally walk in as Penny, they realize, oh my gosh, well, she looks like Sherry.
I mean, as somebody that grew up with the whole JR, who shot JR, and all the, how the world stopped around that, that's a pretty big compliment.
Oh, I mean, my gosh, I was so honored. I
yeah,
would
yeah.
go like, oh wow, I'd read that and go, wow, this is like happening. It's kind of cool.
And it's the same people that forgot that he was Major Nelson on I Dream of Jeannie, and the nicest guy in the world forgot about that when he became JR.
Absolutely. I mean,
you can be Beverly and Sherry, and they both are the same person.
Do you think 24 lives better as a TV series, or do you think 24 could live as a movie in theaters? Because the two mediums are, you know, have meshed together since 2001.
I think that it's truly series, but it could work well in a limited series if it worked, you know, in an eight episode series. But I don't, when you 24 in a movie setting, which is the 90 minutes to the, you know, maybe 2 hours, you know, tops, you have to do a lot, even though it's just 24 hours, but you'd have to do a lot. Mm. I think the beauty and the genius of 24 was taking all of these episodes that truly equal one day. But if you do what basically comes down to one episode, this is easy to make it one day, you know? But I think that being clever about it is, okay, how do I take this moment and make you want to watch it for a whole year, and it totals one day at the end of it?
Right,
that's,
right.
That's clever. If it's a movie, it's a movie. It's not 24. It doesn't have the same wonderful moments. It's like, I don't know if you're fans of Homeland, but I am because I love Howard.
Yes.
You know, that's the closest to 24 that I've seen.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't see Homeland. I mean, I could see Homeland as a movie with different ideas. That could work both ways, but not, I don't think 24 is, that's my opinion.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Well, we want to be mindful of your time. I would love to end with this question. What was the reaction of Black fans to that they shared with you about 24? I'm one of those fans. I qualify as one of those fans for sure, even though I'm Canadian. But what was the reaction of Black fans to seeing the Palmer family? And
I love that question. That's a great question.
Thank you.
A sense of pride. I remember my husband and I were in a store called Cost Plus, I think. And you go in there and you can do wine and cheese and buy outdoor furniture or whatever. And my husband was on one side and I was on the other side looking at something. And all of a sudden, this woman who's at the end of the aisle says, "Sherry Palmer!" And she runs over and she tackles me to the ground. And I'm thinking, oh, she said, "I love you. Thank you for giving me power." But I thought she was going to hurt me.
Sure, yeah.
She was a Black woman. And and she said, "I didn't mean to scare you or frighten you, but you have given me a sense of power that I mean something. When I say something, somebody is listening." I would hear things like, "You go on, sister, with your bad self." I would hear people say, "Finally, someone who deals with children the way we deal with our children." I think there was a point where one of my kids tried to back talk. Mm-hmm. They didn't write it in, but again, they allowed, my hand went up and they were like, "Oh, you know," I go, "that is something that would happen."
Yes.
We don't respect inside of our families. And it's like, this is like freaking news to these people that they really don't know how the dynamics of the Black family works. They think we're like heathens or something, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
In my family, you can't say a curse word, you know?
Right. Yeah.
"Oh, what did you say?" You know, it's different. And so showing that culture, I think it put a smile and a sense of power. And then again, when the Obamas came in, that was it.
Sure.
It was very proud for them. And I have to tell you, equally as proud for me to be a conduit, to be an artist, to be able to deliver that and feel really good about it.
Mm-hmm. When I tell people that growing up that I never thought I would see a Black president in my lifetime, they say, "Come on." Well, if they're not Black, they say that. And I say, "No, I never thought that I would see it. I knew it would eventually happen, but I didn't think it was going to happen in my lifetime." I said, "But as a huge fan of 24, 24 allowed us to see it, to feel it, to feel what it would be like. And then years later to have somebody step up as a senator to, you know, to come out and to win the election twice, to win it twice again is still something that 24 played at least a small part."
I think President Obama, I think I read he was a big fan of 24 too.
I never got to meet him, but 24 did allow me to go and play Condoleezza Rice. So.
Right. Well, when Sherry lives another day, you'll have the opportunity, because I think that's what we should pitch. Sherry Palmer, live another day. I think that should be the next series.
I like that.
You never know. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your experience. And again, you have such a unique perspective on the world of 24, and we are grateful that you chose to spend some time with us.
Thank you so much, Ryan, and thank you, Justin. And I just want to say, every time I you know, when you come up on my screen, you have Kiefer with this gun, and it's almost like you're trying to shoot me.
And Kiefer wasn't the one to do it, fortunately. Jack didn't do that one. So.
Oh, there you go.
That's right. Yes. One of the few he didn't do. So.
Yes, I mean, thank you a million for joining us today.
Yeah.
We appreciate you joining us and having a conversation with us about 20 years of 24.
Yeah.
I hope your fans know that they can hit me up on Instagram or hit me up on Twitter. I believe I'm Penny Gerald on Instagram, and I think I'm Penny J. Gerald on Twitter. And I have a lot to say.
Yeah.
And join me on the Orville.
Typical barrister.